Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Profit and Beauty. Now today's topic is definitely a reflection of today's mobile and sharing economy. Now gone are the days where we were told that there is only one path to success. With the creation of companies like Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, and several beauty business apps, beauty professionals now have the options and they can pick and choose how and when they want to work. Now, even though I run an accounting practice, I still do hair at my leisure whenever I want to by working in one of these business beauty apps. Now, my guest today is Dr. Ty Caldwell. Ty is the co-founder and the CEO of Sheer Share, the first on-demand salon and beauty shop space rental app. Dr. Caldwell's mission is to help beauty and barbering professionals around the world maximize their earning potential. Now, the Sheer Share app enables more than 1 million licensed professionals to work on their terms, while salon owners and barbershop owners make money on unused space. He is the author of the number one best-selling book called Mentored by Failure, a five-point guide to long-term success in the beauty and style industry. Hi, Dr. Caldwell. I'd like to first start by thanking you for agreeing to be a guest on today's show. So can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, and who you do it for?
Yes, thank you for having me. I am so excited to be a part of this today. Just a little bit about me. I've been in the beauty industry for 25 years, two decades as a salon owner. This app that I started almost now, I did it manually, my wife and I, for almost 3 years. And then we decided we didn't know, you know, how to go about, you know, trying to get these people into on a platform within the apps today to just kind of push them over because we were super busy. There was nothing there. And there was a problem we were trying to solve for ourselves. So we looked at each other and said, why don't we develop it? And so what the app does, it allows the licensed professionals who need to find a space to work, because traditionally the industry doesn't allow people to work in a salon by the day. I think that it's so hard for stylists, barbers, licensed professionals who have been classically trained to not work in a salon, and they were going to do, they were doing work in their homes, they were doing work in hotels and in other people's homes. And we just thought that's just not good. If you're classically trained in a school, you should be able to do your work in a salon. Everybody doesn't have a large book of business, and some people are not looking for a permanent home. They are traveling stylists. And so this was a problem we were trying to solve for ourselves. Again, I allowed a stylist who had moved on the other side of town to rent my space by the day. And lo and behold, I loved it. She loved it. And there it started from there. But definitely the licensed professionals can look for a place to work, and the salons, barbershops, and spas who have empty space or empty suite, now they can rent their space out by the day.
Okay, so now that we have an idea of what share is. Okay, so can you tell the audience what inspired you to create such an app that essentially would have been considered completely outside the box just a few years ago? And you mentioned that this was something that you and your wife created together out of necessity. So you felt clearly some sort of need, and then you decided, okay, yeah, this sounds like a really wonderful idea. Now, what inspired you to sort of try to take it worldwide, so to speak?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. We can go back as far as probably 8 to 10 years ago, nothing like this would have been thought of. You know, we were really, really starting to understand it. The industry was changing. So about 2012, 2011, that's when salon booths, salon space, like small mini suites were starting to pop up. And they originated really in Texas, and people were able to be their own boss. But at the end of the day, this industry is more community than anything. So the traditional salon open concept wasn't going anywhere. So I actually had rebranded and expanded my salon. So I have an open concept side, and I also have a suite side. And so what I started to see is that the industry was changing a whole lot with the social media, with it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Everybody was starting to become, you know, not overnight, but really, really quick celebrities as far as being in the beauty and style industry, because they were actually putting all their work, whether it be, you know, their location, whether it be, you know, going to a booking app, or whether it be, you know, showing their place of location to the stylist. I mean, not to the stylist, but to the customers, so that they could really find them. And once we realized that this was something that was really taking over, when we started ShareShare out of necessity, we didn't think that it was anything like that. We didn't think it was going to be, we wasn't even thinking far, because we were just really trying to help these present stylists look for a place to work. And in that process, you know, one person told the next person, another person told the next person. So being that concierge service to these stylists, it got a little bit overwhelming. So like I said before, we wanted to find an app, because now we're in the app age where everything is an app. You know, you have Uber, Airbnb, you have different Lyft, you have different apps like TaskRabbit. All these apps were coming out. People were working. So I said, okay, well, there has to be an app for the beauty industry. Let me look for something. Let me put in the words. And there was nothing. I'm talking about literally nothing. And so my wife tried to look for something. And we was like, you know, we got to push these people to something, because she's working at Oracle, you know, running Digital Man across 4 continents. I'm writing my best-selling book. I'm mentoring and coaching, and I'm also running my own salon here. I just realized that, you know, we can't continue to do this and be successful in what we're doing individually as well. So, like I said, it was one of those things where we built it out of necessity. We decided, hey, you know what, being that we're not the technologically savvy, we called a friend of ours in Silicon Valley, a friend that we had met while Courtney was working at Oracle. And we asked, we just wanted to just run it by her to see what she thought about it. This person we're talking about, she's constantly, you know, stopped and always talk, because she works in startup world. And so people will stop her on the way to the grocery store, getting out of a car, just trying to pitch the idea. And so when we called her, we told her about the idea that and the issues that we were having. And she literally said that it was a billion dollar idea. And that's where it all started from.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a wonderful idea, because me, myself, being a hairstylist, when I was switching from becoming a hairstylist to becoming an accountant full time, you know, I still enjoyed doing hair. And as you know, as stylists, no matter what we do, we always somehow find ourselves back in the business doing in some form or fashion. Because it's a love. It's just something that, you know, stylists just love to do hair. So I found that even as I was building my practice, I really did miss doing hair. So I was trying to find a place to work. And what I was trying to do was, nobody really was interested in having me come in once or twice a week. Because as you know, as stylists, we can make a ton of money in 2 days, right? So it's not a matter of having to be there 5 days a week. So they felt as if they charged me full booth rent, or rather if they charged me partial booth rent, they'll be doing themselves a disservice because I'm still making all this money, which is true. So then I decided, okay, I can't find what I'm looking for, which is your concepts, being able to just call up a place and say, can I come in for the day? So then I started working for one of these hair app companies, which works great for me now because I can just, it's like on demand. I can just go, you know, work when I want to. But honestly, if I had known about ShareShare back then, I would have jumped on it because it was exactly what I was looking for. Didn't really know how to express what I wanted. But then when I read what you were doing, I'm like, you know what? That's what I wanted. Somewhere where I could actually call up and say, do you have any space available? Can I come work for the day? And that's it. And by the way, and my next question actually talks about worldwide. Because even when I went to London a few years ago, I really wanted to work. I was there on vacation, but I wanted to do some work. And I'm thinking, gosh, it would be wonderful if I could just find a place where I could work for 1 week while I'm visiting London. So that being said, now I'm sure that this is a concept that resonates with beauty professionals worldwide. Does your app extend to professionals outside the United States? And if so, what other countries are a part of this genius idea?
That's a great question. And before I answer that question, one of the things that I understand in your problem from way back in the years is that, as you know, and I know, being a salon owner myself, and also being a professional in the industry, one thing is salon owners are very apprehensive about letting someone come in and work within their culture, and just kind of do their work. Yes, we come from an industry that has always been literally a commission-based industry outside of independent contracts. So salons have not gotten used to that concept as of probably about 2 years ago when that tsunami hit. It just kind of just changed the whole idea of how people started looking at things. But, you know, they really look at culture. But one of the things I will say, we're excited to announce that we're in about 11 countries. So right now our listings are about a dozen. So we're in the U.S., New Zealand, England, France, Dubai, Germany, Russia, Malaysia, and the Netherlands.
Okay.
And that could be one salon, that could be two salons, but it just goes to show you how interested this concept was, not just from the U.S. perspective, but outside the U.S. So that's why, you know, we can name these countries that ShareShare is involved in right now.
Okay, so I'm planning on going to London probably sometime, possibly in September or maybe even in December. So are you saying that I can start planning now to possibly book some time in a salon?
Absolutely. And one thing I will say is that if you have anyone down there that you know that you have a relationship with, why don't you let them pick your salon that you possibly think that you could work in? And now, you know, we do have it where we allow people to make money who refer. So we have a referral program as well. So if there's a couple of salons that you know of or that they know of that they think would fit our platform, they could just call us and we could start getting the information, because we would rather for them to be on the app if they're not in the location, because we don't have a large group of salons in these places, but these were the countries that have maybe a salon or two that were interested. So they're part of our international team and family. So we're excited to have them. So yes, you can start looking right now. And if not, just reach out to the team and they'll start looking for you.
Okay. Well, yeah, my entire family is there. So I could probably have my sister or my sister-in-law actually do that for me. So, talking about that, I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
That's great. No, that's great.
Oh, okay. Talking about that, so explain to myself and the audience the process that a stylist would have to go through to reserve space using the app, and also what a salon owner needs to do to be able to be listed as an available salon that actually rents space to stylists.
That's great. Well, first, stylists need to have a current license. That's definitely number one to use our app. All they need to do is download the ShareShare for free on either the App Store or Google Play, depending on which phone you have. Type in the city and hit search. They can then filter by the day of the week. They have amenities to choose from, you know, bathroom, whether you want, some people want a break room, some people want pet friendly, some people want free parking. They want to know if all those amenities exist. Either private suite or open station, the licensed specialty, including permanent makeup artists, and of course the price. But for the salon and the barbershop owners, they can go to www.shareshare.com/become a host to get started. And there's a short form for them to fill out that my team gets, and then they start asking other questions, because we want to make sure that these questions will allow them to be on the platform. And it's not a short form, but it's something that is pretty precise, but at the end of the day, it's pretty prescriptive about them getting onto the platform as well.
Okay, so is there an average price that salons charge for a daily rental, or is that something, I know it's something that's completely up to the salon themselves to price it out, but have you found that people are pretty close as it relates to pricing, or does it depend upon what state you're in, what country you're in, what parts of town you're in? Like, what are some of the things that people take into consideration when they are trying to determine how much they're going to charge a transient stylist?
Well, you know, that again is a great question. And this was probably one of the most difficult things for salon owners, because they did not know how to put a price to their space or their suite. So they would actually come into our team, would help them. And we kind of have a kind of a quasi fitting way we do it. So we look at location, we look at the type of salon it is, whether it's a salon or barbershop, we look at it, whether it's open concept or whether it's salon suite. We also look at the decor and how they pretty much scale it. You know, you got your middle grade, you got your higher end, and then you got exquisite. And so some salons have a tendency to be in that inter-coiffure type of group, where they have just totally awesome salon, high end. So we got spaces anywhere from $25 to the Naha Award winner in New York, that's $529 a day. So at the end of the day, there's something for everybody. And it makes people really look at it like this. If you have a salon and you have a space, and it's not, it doesn't look the way you feel like it should look for visiting stylists, it raises the bar for people to say, you know what, I want to be on the ShareShare app, so I'm going to upgrade my salon so that now I can have traveling stylists. And it's always to make extra money, but it's not always the money thing that gets them. It's the fact that this industry is changing, and they want to be involved with other like-minded professionals who are bringing that artistic value, not only from where they're coming from, but to their shop.
I mean, you're so right about the industry changing, because I know when I first became a hairstylist, which was back in the, I guess, the mid-90s, maybe somewhere in there, you know, it was just very basic. It was, okay, you graduate from you graduate from cosmetology school, and then you go find a salon to work in. Now, one of the things that I experienced, and I'm guilty of this, I'm thinking, oh, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to go get my own salon. Okay, yeah. Now, that is the worst thing one can do, because I did that, and I was listening to your webinar last week, and somebody asked that question, and you actually, you know, talked about it, and I was just steady shaking my head so hard as you were talking, because I was saying, yeah, I was a victim of that, because I think it was about 6 months out of school, I decided to open up my own salon, which was one of the worst things I could have done back then, but it the failure of it taught me for my next salon. And, you know, as you mentioned, not a good idea. It's always good to go somewhere really to commission first. Now, with this concept that you have here, I think it's a wonderful way for a stylist, even if you're straight out of school and you don't really want to find yourself on lockdown, because as creative people, we don't like to be on lockdown. We like our freedom.
No, absolutely. Yes. And I don't mean to stop you, but I definitely want to say this for your audience, because I know I had my audience last week, but for your audience, I would definitely say, if there's anyone here that's aspiring to be an entrepreneur or a salon owner, barbershop owner, spa owner, whatever you're trying to do in this beauty industry, I would never even think about getting out of school and start a salon. There are so many things you have to look at, because a lot of people go in for the artistic value that they have, and the prowess that they have as far as doing great hair, doing great color, doing great cut. But what they probably don't have is people skills. What they probably don't have is leadership skills. They probably only lead themselves. They probably only want to deal with their customers. But you cannot open a salon and want people to work in your salon if you don't have people skills. And if you don't have a level of this business acumen or business discernment where, you know, where we're not always putting out the hiring tools that we need. Sometimes we just hire people just so we can say to fill our space.
Yeah.
You have to have the acumen in order to have the right people around you to build the right culture, to build the right foundation. Because at the end of the day, there could be someone in your salon that doesn't fit the culture, and it's going to affect your business. It's going to affect your brand. So you have to make sure that you've worked in this industry and not only worked in this industry, but understand the different facets of it. And my story is, I'm going to be honest with you. I never thought about becoming a salon barbershop owner. I never thought about that. I got in the industry because I had the gift. I went and worked at a salon for 6 years. Within my first year, I was manager. They wanted me to manage it. They liked my professionalism. It wasn't the professionalism that I was just at the salon, but it was the professionalism that I brought just for my clients, because I wanted to do something outside of the box. And I was not in a great area. So to do what I was doing in the area that I was in was pretty much at that time was an anomaly, because I was making a name for myself based on my skill set. But once I started managing the salon, selling products, leading my group, opening the shop and closing the shop, working 15 hours a day for 5 years, they started to see that. So when I left that salon after my sixth year, we had 11 independent contractors. The owner cried when she realized that I was getting ready to move on to open my own salon. 10 months later, after leaving a shop with 11 team member salon, that salon closed down in 10 months.
Oh, wow.
And so what goes to show you is that when you don't have the right leaders, you don't have the right foundation, it can go down. The ship will go down. It doesn't matter if you have 15 people, because I ran a salon. I ran a 2,000 square feet salon with 3 people successfully for 7 years before I built my team out.
So
you have to have those facets of skills in order to be successful.
And that's a really good, even though it's a bit off topic, but it's a really, really good point. Because one of the biggest problems that salons have, and me being an accountant and just, you know, working with a lot of salons, you know, they shut down left and right. They really do. And from my experience, it's not even about, they're making money, but they don't have that business sense. They don't have the business sense, whether it's managing people, human resources, or whether it's managing their actual finances, their cash flow, whatever the case may be. And normally that's the reason why they don't make it. It's never really the fact that they're not making enough money. Because like, as you said, you ran a 2,000 three-person salon for however long successfully, which and that says a lot, because you're managing your money well, you understand the business side of things, and you're probably good to your staff, and you treat them in such a way that they want to stay. So I think that's definitely a topic for a subject for another show, because that really, really definitely. Does interest, it definitely interests me, because I do get the question a lot, what do I need to do to keep my salon open? And, you know, coming from, and I'm on the financial side, not really the coaching side, even though I have experience, but that's not an area that I necessarily want to tap into, which is coaching people on how to, you know, keep their salons open, because there's so many different facets to it. So I would love to have you come back to talk about that for another show.
I'm super excited. I was about to get really deep into it, but like you said, that's for another day. And definitely let's take some time, you know, give people the opportunity to at least understand the basics. And if so, we have some veterans on there, we can also give some extra, because this is what I've been doing for the last 2 decades. And I'm telling you, that's why I wrote my best-selling book, Mentor by Failure. I didn't have no one like me to help me see the forest for the trees. And I'm super excited to help others.
Cool. Okay. So back to this fabulous app. Now, I think it's, you know, I'm so excited for you. I think it's such a great idea. Now, especially for salon owners that have a hard time filling their salon suites and even filling their salons. as we both know, it can be quite challenging at times to find reliable workers. Now, what type of response and feedback have you gotten from salon owners and salon suite owners relating to their experience with prior or current transient space renters?
Oh, wow. One thing I will say, because we're stylists supporting stylists, that's what we like to use as our hashtag. We stay extremely close to the community we serve and hear every day how we're helping barbershop owners keep their businesses open and how new cosmetologists are using ShareShare to launch out. With ShareShare, the first on-demand salon and barbershop space rental app, we're helping everyone, I'm talking about everyone, respond to the shift that's happening in how workspace is rented. So in saying that, one of my favorite testimonials, and this is on the App Store, and it's from a salon owner. She says, ShareShare is such a wonderful thing. Being a salon owner, I have experienced having an empty chair. Since signing up with ShareShare, I have had many stylists come and rent my empty booth. It's a great app for both salon and spa owners, as well as stylists. Then there's one from a stylist that I shared with our team today. And one of the things that I love about what I do is that I'm able to talk to people because I work within this industry. I know what they're feeling. I know what they're going through, whether good or bad or indifferent, and I'm able to help them. So it's when I'm calling people, and it's not about putting out fires. It's about opening people's minds up, because some people are in small towns as opposed to maybe a Dallas, Texas, or New York, or Atlanta. So we're able to kind of give people cross-pollination of understanding the industry from the business perspective, as well as from the licensed professional who doesn't know these things. So this one stylist said, this is easy to use app, made it so easy for me to find a salon in my area to work on the weekends while building my clientele and not worrying about monthly booth rent. I like the freedom to choose what days I want to go in, and I have had an amazing phase every time. I highly recommend to all new students, hair and estheticians, as well as those who love to travel, as they have participating salons across the country.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just think that when the word really gets out there, which I hope it will, and I'm going to definitely try to push this, that people are going to, I mean, they're going to just fall all over this, because I know I have a pretty huge, you know, I know a lot of stylists, and one of the biggest complaints I hear is that I'm afraid to move, whether it be from salon to salon, I'm afraid to move from state to state, I'm afraid to move from even within the state, from city to city, or just across the street, because I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my clientele. So then we all feel as if we are tied down to a particular salon, a particular area, just tied down to where we are. And to me, with this app, when you start out this way and you build your business around the ShareShare model, I think it gives you that freedom that you want and that feeling of no longer being tied down to a particular salon, tied down to a particular city, and in your case, tied down to a particular country. You can even go overseas. So it's a Absolutely. Wonderful, it's a wonderful thing. And honestly, I'm just gushing and I'm loving this app. If I was still a hairstylist, believe me, this would be how I would work with the ShareShare app.
I love it. I'm giving two finger snaps. One of the things I will say, the flexibility that we have given these stylists, and one of the things I will say, because we're B2B app and not a business to customer app, we're business to business, is that it moves a little slower. It's easier for customers on the outside, the consumers, to jump onto something like a Uber, because they're looking for a carter ride, or something like an Airbnb, or anything else like a Lyft or a TaskRabbit, because they're looking for the platform. But one of the things that's different about this industry, because it's so archaic, because people aren't as technology savvy outside of using apps like this, we don't sit at our stations or suites with a computer. Everything is done on our phone. But at the end of the day, we're using it for other things like looking for a car, booking our appointment. So we're on that part of it. But at the end of the day, I'm doing another webinar. I'm not going to say the name, but it's pretty much on all these issues that these stylists have. Finding a place to work, not wanting to be bogged down in a salon or a barbershop as a home. They want to have options and an opportunity to be able to be exposed and get exposure. We got people traveling for weddings and doing work. We got people traveling over the holidays and doing friends and family. We got people traveling to shows, whether it be Premier, IBS, doing work while they're there, going to the playoff games, going to Super Bowl, different things using the app. And that's what makes it so, that's what makes it so sticky, because at the end of the day, it's nothing like calling up a salon and then being turned down, but knowing that you have already have Share Salon's family on the app that say, hey, you know what? I'm a part of that team. I would rather do that. You don't exchange any money with our app. You're able to do it so easy. It's just like booking a hotel. It's super easy. And one of the things that I was prescriptive about is making sure that not only it was easy, but it wasn't something that you was going to have to keep making issues with. And so we're really prescriptive about how we build this app and making sure that there's a free flow to give people the opportunity to love what we do and what we bring to them.
Right. Now imagine this. Okay. So we have Instagram, we have Facebook. Okay. We have Pinterest. So people are probably wondering, how can they benefit from this app? Well, I just thought of something. Now, because we have all of these social media outlets, we put all, because I'm on Instagram quite a bit because my target audience and my market is on Instagram, right? So as I'm flipping through the posts and the pictures, I see phenomenal hair in places like Texas, places like Las Vegas, New Jersey. And I'm saying to myself, wow, this is absolutely wonderful. So could you imagine, I'm here in Atlanta, correct? Right. And let's say I was a stylist in Atlanta and I'm putting all of my work out there and people are looking at my work all over the United States and abroad. Can you imagine how easy it would be for me to say, guess what? I'm coming to a city near you. I'm going to be in Houston on the week of September 4th. Book an appointment with me. So then the person can go on their ShareShare app, find a salon, rent some space, and let all those folks in Houston who have been admiring their work book an appointment to come get their hair done. Imagine that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what they're doing. Yeah. One of the things that I will say, what makes it so fascinating, what makes it so easy for a lot of these stylists who are traveling, we're so engrossed into social media that sometimes we really don't know how to use it to our advantage. So you have apps out there for booking, but people do travel. And it's not about just traveling from New York to Cali. It's really about traveling from, if you're in New York or if you're in Dallas, just take Dallas home for us. No, we have four of the largest cities in America. We have San Antonio, we have Austin, we have Houston, we have Dallas. We have some stylists traveling from Houston to Dallas. We have some stylists that are traveling from one side, from Northwest Dallas to Southeast Dallas, within the same complex, within the same city. And that's what makes it so great. Then we have stylists and barbers in New York going from the Bronx to Brooklyn. And you got people going from Harlem to Manhattan. So it's not about crossing state lines. It's staying within the city, having the option now to be able to meet your clients where they're at. Because, you know, if you're a really, really great stylist and you have clients that do not want to go anywhere else and they're saturated all over the city, one thing you got to realize, if you have an app like this that makes it so much easier, now you can book for all your clients that live in the same space one day of that week and no one has to really come to you. Now you've made it so convenient. Now you have upcharge of a premium price that makes it easier for you. And as long as you are efficient for them, they're going to be so super excited to allow you to charge them extra just because you're making it sufficient for them.
You're so absolutely right. Okay, so for my final question. Now, obviously, you are definitely a forward thinker, but even more important, you clearly act on your thoughts and your ideas. What are some of the projects that you have on the horizon for the future?
That's a great question. You know, I'm a very, very thought-provoking person. I'm a risk taker. And ever since I started in the beauty and barbering industry 25 years ago, it was really my goal to help and up-level our industry. And so now with ShareShare, my goal is to help stylists and owners everywhere maximize their earning potential. And one of the ways that we're doing that as far as the company is that we're helping stylists with their accounting needs. So this is the first time ever in this industry we have a relationship with Track. And what Track does, it helps stylists, now they can get free weekly pay stubs, they can get a free tax savings account, automatic filing of their quarterly taxes, and more. Everybody knows how hard it is for us who really work in the cash industry. We just really probably started. There's still a lot of salons and barbershops that do cash only. And I just recently started traveling to New York. I was in Connecticut. I was in New Jersey. And I would see signs, cash only, that don't even have merchant accounts. So we just started using merchant accounts. And when you try to go get a car, or when you're trying to refile your house, or anything, we never had the proper paperwork. So now with this relationship we have with Track, now they can have the proper paperwork, and we also help them do their quarterly taxes. So we're trying to meet our community where they are, and that's on their phones right now, because everything about, you know, this industry abroad, we're just talking about across the board, not just the beauty industry, everything is on their phones. So if anybody want to learn more about that, they can go to shareshare.com/tax. And really, 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 this is just the beginning, because there are so many other things and mountains we're already attempting to climb. And I have no fear of failure. I have no fear of risk, because in order to risk it, I always go back to my numbers. Out of 100%, 97% of people will never change. 2% of that 100% will think about it. So we're already at 99. So people always want to understand the 1%ers. The 1%ers are the ones that step into their risk and they don't think about it. It's not 1%, the richest people. Yeah, they're rich. That's 1%. But look what they did to get there. They risked it all. And I've literally risked a lot of what I have to start this company. And you know, at the end of the day, you're either going to be afraid and sink, or you're going to be happy you did it and enjoy the rewards later, because you got to be patient. You got to trust the process, and you can't skip it at all. You have to realize that you have to use your faith, because at the end of the day, me, myself alone, I cannot think about doing this on my own. So having great relationships, having great mentors, talking things out, and being patient has been one of the things that has really led me to become the person that I am in the successful areas that I've built for myself in this world.
Yeah, and I can relate to risk taking, because I'm definitely not a risk taker. My husband, of course, is more of a risk taker than me, and I'm real careful. Mm-hmm. I'm very calculated. I'm very, you know, I have to plan it out. I have to know what's happening. I have to have my checklist, and I have to look at it from a 360 degree, which is okay, but
you also need
some element of risk. So my husband is the one that pushes me to take a risk, and I'm the one that tries to draw him back. Sometimes
my wife was like that, but yeah, she's like that too. But one of the things that I told her a long time ago is when she was working, because she consulted outside of Oracle when she left there, and it just became too monotonous. And she said, you know, I want to do something that's going to really benefit me, my time and my efforts. And I said, hey, jump and grow your wings on the way down, because it's not going to be easy. And you can't talk yourself out of it not being hard. It's going to be hard whether you start day one. It's going to be hard whether you start day 90. It's going to be hard. I think that is one of the things that most people can't get past, and that's the risk factor. Write down your plan. Make it plain. You know, but at the end of the day, if plan one, if plan two doesn't work, that doesn't mean plan three doesn't work. It just means that thing you're checking off. And failure isn't about quitting. When you quit, then you totally failed because you quit. But failure is about pivoting, and pivoting is when something goes wrong. How can I, you know, recalculate all the things I've done and do it again and do it again and do it again? So it may take a lot of bruising, it may take a lot of spending money. You may lose a lot, but one of the things you don't get back is time. You get money back, but you don't get time back. So if you're the type of person that's used to holding on to something, you can hold on to it, but what is it going to get you? It's not going to get you anything. So I can't take it with me. So it's best that I help someone else and risk it and reap the rewards on the back end, because at the end of the day, I'm enjoying the journey. The journey is more fun than the risk sometimes, because you get to see all these things unfold. Now, do you lose sleep? Do you cry? You do all that. You get bruised up pretty bad. But it's gonna, one day something is going to turn, because we all get 24 hours. So something is going to turn one day, and you're going to be like, man, if I had a quit yesterday, I would have never seen this. It's almost like the man that was my in the mountain mining, and he was digging, and he was almost there. He turned around, and the other guy was just excited, and he had farther to go than the guy who could have dug about 3 more inches and he would have been in. And the other guy was like, man, about 10 yards from his diamond, and he was just scratching. But the guy who was 3 inches away from it turned around and said, I'm never going to make it.
Wow. That's very inspirational. So you've inspired me to take more risks, which I say that to myself all the time. I have a talk to myself all the time. I'm constantly, because it's a mental thing. So I'm constantly talking to myself and saying, okay, Desiree, stop being so careful. You know, what has it ever gotten you? Well, it's gotten me a lot, but that being said, I think I'll get more if I took more risks. So that's definitely very motivational. Now, before we end the show, I'd like to say that you were definitely speaking my language when you were talking about estimated taxes and taxes. I know that's not sexy to a lot of people, but to me, when you start talking like that, you know, it's sexy to me. Now, I'm just hoping that, you know, I definitely love your vision. I love your energy. I love your passion. And I know your wife, what's her name? Starts with a C.
Courtney.
There you go. And I know she's probably the backbone as well, because without her, some of the things you're doing may or may not be possible. So I want to give a shout out to Courtney as well. And
thank you.
And hopefully, and I'm just hoping that one day maybe we can partner with something as it relates to accounting, taxes, whatever the case may be. I would definitely love that. Now, I'd like to thank you for agreeing to be a guest on today's show. I had a great time speaking with you. You definitely motivated me, if nothing else, to take more risks. And I would like for you to share your contact information with the audience so that if they would like to get in touch with you in reference to ShareShare, or, you know, if they want to download your app, where do they go? Give us a website address, email, whatever it is that you give out.
Okay, great. I want to say this about my wife, Courtney. She's a phenomenal lady. She really is the backbone to what we do at ShareShare. She has great marketing experience. She's ran teams across 4 continents. I can't explain or express enough how much she means to not just me, but as a co-founder for this company. She does a phenomenal job. People love her. And she has learned to work with, she has learned the language of beauty and barbering. That's been so hard. It's so hard for people to come from corporate and then speak the language of everyday regular people who are doing something that they love. But, you know, if it wasn't for her, I don't think that we could be this far, because when you have great relationships, when you put great minds together, they build well. So that's one of the things that I will say to her. So kudos to her. And she knows how much I love her for being a part of this team. That means a lot. But in order to reach me, and it's all things ShareShare. So you got, you can get me at my email address, ty@shareshare.com. IG is ShareShare. Twitter is ShareShare. And so one of the things that we want people to understand is that, you know, we're here for them. This is what we love to do. We're really big on relationships. We constantly travel. We constantly reach out to people. So if you need to reach out to me at any time, just go to ty@shareshare.com. You can also reach me on Instagram personally, Dr. Ty Caldwell, and then ShareShare Instagram as well, and Twitter Instagram. So Twitter ShareShare. So we've just been so excited to be a part of this radio program today, and with you having all these great questions, and we can help other people, and then getting an opportunity to do this next one. But definitely my next webinar is going to speak a lot of language to people who need to understand what we're doing. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your program.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest. I really enjoy speaking with you. And by the way, I'm going to have your information, including the link to download the app, on the notes page of my podcast. So if anybody is wants to get that information, in case you didn't quite, you know, weren't able to write down what Dr. Ty said, I'm going to have a link in the notes area of my podcast, so you can download the link to the ShareShare app. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to today's show, and I hope you all have a great day, and I'll catch you all next time. Bye.